Mike Tagubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. O beloved, how wonderful it is to taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, I'm so thankful for that day many, many years ago, over 70 years ago, when I opened my young heart to Jesus Christ, when His Holy Spirit convicted me of sin, and when He, the Spirit of God, moved into my spirit to deliver me from sin, to give me life eternal, to make a new creation out of me. And what a joy and privilege it's been to know the Lord Jesus and to walk with Him these many, many years. Oh, beloved, perhaps you're listening today. You just happened upon this broadcast. You don't know what's going on, and perhaps you're curious. I hope you will continue to listen. We want to share with you the truth of God's Word. And in our last broadcast together, we talked about the Word of God, how that it was compiled over a period of 1500 to 1600 years, written by some 40 different men, none of whom were white men, and many of them didn't even know one another. And yet it contains it under the inspiration of the one author. There was one author that wrote or used these men as his secretary to write down the words of the Bible. And every portion of it agrees with the other passages. That's why we know the Word of God is true. When men find things they think are contradictions, it's because they don't understand the Word of God. It's because they do not understand what the Spirit of God is saying through those passages of Scripture, and they do not grasp and comprehend what is being presented, because the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, we're told in the book of Corinthians. And so, beloved, the person that's without Jesus Christ cannot comprehend the truths contained in this book. It's a mystery book to them, a book that they say is full of contradictions because they can't figure it out. Only through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God can the Word of God begin to be unlocked and the glorious nuggets of truth begin to be grasped and comprehended and understood. And so that's why the Bible is our standard by which we go, we who know Jesus as our Savior, and it is our guide, and that which tells us all about man and how that God created man as a triune being, even as God is triune. Now, the reason men write other books and say, well, you've got to have this book in order to understand the Bible, is because they were written by men who themselves did not understand the Word of God. And that's why those books contradict God's Word. And that's why those books will lead people astray and are designed and devised by Satan, the master deceiver, to keep men and women from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and from coming to the knowledge of the truth. But how wonderful it is to believe on the Lord Jesus, to accept Him as our Savior, to come to the realization of why He came to earth to die for mankind, that we might have a way made to Almighty God through Jesus Christ, who said in John 14:6, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father who is in heaven. the only way of salvation. He said, I am the truth, and only can one understand and comprehend and come to the knowledge of truth through Jesus Christ, believing in Him, accepting Him as Savior, because when one accepts Jesus as their Savior, God sends the Holy Spirit of God into their spirit to do the work of salvation. Now remember last time we talked about how that man is a triune being with a spirit, a soul, and a body. And it's the spiritual part of man into which the Holy Spirit of God enters when one puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. John 3:6 states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's physical birth. But that which is born of the Spirit is the spiritual part of man. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God to come into man's spirit to do that work of salvation. And even a little child can understand. Even a little child can enter in by childlike faith, beloved. I was only 5 years old when the Holy Spirit of God moved into my life and transformed me and made a new person out of me. I didn't understand all about it. There was so much I did not know. And even today, beloved, I'm still growing in the knowledge of the truth. God's Word still opens up and unlocks beautiful truths that thrill my soul and spirit as I get into it every day to read it and to meditate upon it and to think upon it. Oh, beloved, it's so rich and so fulfilling. You can take a novel and read a novel, and once you've read it, well, you've read it. I mean, there's no more to it. But God's Word's not like that. God's Word's a living Word, and when you get into the Word of God, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, the simple truths of God's Word thrill your heart. And as you study the Word of God, you grow spiritually in the knowledge of the truth, and more truth begins to be revealed and begins to be made clear by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And, oh, beloved, what a thrill it is to find these nuggets of truth, to meditate upon them, and to enjoy the beauty of them as we experience the reality of it in our day-by-day living. Well, it is so good to know the truth about man's triunity, as we read last time concerning the spirit, soul, and body of man that is recorded in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And so we've seen that man is a triune being. Now, what part of man does man emphasize? Well, we've seen the first example of it in the first book of the Bible again. Remember, the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings, and there's so many wonderful truths that are opened up in this first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, we see where God has placed Adam and Eve in a beautiful garden and has given them authority over the world and over the earth. And here in this beautiful garden, Adam and Eve dwells. And one day, Eve is near the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, God has told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day they eat thereof, they'll surely die. And so, we see that Eve is near this tree that's in the midst of the garden. And a beautiful creature approaches Eve and begins to talk with Eve. Now, beloved, in the paradise of God, there's many wonderful things that today we do not know and we do not understand, because we're living in a world that's been cursed by sin. But here we see this beautiful creature approached Eve. And it was a creature that was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. It was a beautiful creature. It was a cunning creature. And it approached Eve, and it began to talk with Eve. And Eve doesn't seem to be surprised at it communicating with her, Perhaps the animals communicated with man in the Garden of Eden. I don't know. There's many wonderful things about paradise that we do not now know nor understand. But we see that she's not surprised as this beautiful creature begins to speak with her. And the creature says, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And Eve replies unto this creature called the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it." And then she adds a little as she says, "Neither shall ye touch it." Perhaps Adam had told her that, not to even touch it, "lest ye die." This was the warning that God had given, the one command that he gave Adam and Eve as he placed them in the paradise where there was no sin. He said, "Do not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And the serpent, this beautiful creature, said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, beloved, here we see this beautiful creature that the book of Revelation chapter 12 tells us, this beautiful creature, the serpent, was none other than Satan in disguise. Satan was using this beautiful creature to communicate with Eve and to lead her into temptation and to lead her into that which was false and that which was wrong. He is a master deceiver, and we're told in the book of Revelation that he deceiveth the whole world. And so we see the Word of God warns us about Satan in the book of John. We're told in the book of John concerning the serpent. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus was speaking to those who had been deceived by Satan, and he said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He's the father of lies. And right here, he begins to mix truth and falsehood together to deceive Eve and to lead her into rebelling against the Word of God. Till next time, goodbye.